Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. It's my privilege to share this message with you. I've entitled Catch and Feed. When Jesus first called Peter and the other disciples, he told them he would make them fishers of men. Then just before Jesus' final ascension into heaven, Jesus told Peter to feed his sheep. As important as it is to be a fisher of men, it is equally important that we feed the lambs that God calls us to care for. God wants to use us through demonstration of the gospel to draw men into the net, and he also wants us to feed them after they've been caught. Catching and feeding is what we've been called to do. I hope that you enjoy this message. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, God, it is great, so great to study your word. It's so wonderful to enjoy your presence and to enjoy the ministry of the teacher, the Holy Spirit, as he teaches us. We thank you. Thank you, Father, for the ministry of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come and teach us this evening. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for our new birth. Thank you for the reborn human spirit that you provided us with. Thank you, Jesus. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Father, I am so excited for what you're going to show us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was preparing for the message this evening, the Lord is having me go back and look at the initial calling of Peter and Andrew and James and John. More specifically, it's Peter that we're going to be looking at, but all of them together were called at the same time. But we'll focus in as we progress along this evening on Peter. We want to set the stage for the calling that was made to them by Jesus when he invited them to follow him. In the book of John, the first chapter, we're going to begin there because we're going to see it, what appears to be, and I think what most people generally believe to be, the first encounter that Jesus had with Peter. So if you have your Bible, why don't you open up to the Gospel of John, first chapter. And some very interesting things that I'll point out to you here as we begin. This, in verse 35 of John chapter 1, this is coming right on the heels of Jesus speaking about John the Baptist. And it says, again the next day after John, this John the Baptist stood, and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. This is John the Baptist saying this about Jesus. Now look at this. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek you? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. What a coincidence. You know, you think about this. One of those two men that had this discourse with Jesus, one of the two of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, it appears like this is the first contact that any of them in that group had with Jesus. Here's John, or John the Baptist, and his disciples, two of his disciples, Andrew being one of them, begins to follow Jesus. just happens to be Peter's brother. Let's go on here. Verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, so this is Andrew finding Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now we're going to stop there. This is going on and talking about Philip and then Nathanael and they're being called as disciples. But notice here, we have Andrew and we have Simon, and then whose name became Peter, which is a rock, meaning a rock. But notice how at this moment, Jesus didn't say to them, Follow me. Jesus didn't say to Andrew or to Simon Peter, Follow me. But you'll see here that he said to Philip in verse 43, what? He said, Follow me. But he didn't say that to either Andrew or Simon Peter. I find that interesting. So let's continue to kind of track this. And we'll have to go to the Gospel of Luke in order to get a little bit different picture of the things that transpired in this time period. So in chapter 5 of Luke, we're going to read quite a bit of this. We're going to read from the first verse down through, I think, the 11th verse. And it came to pass, as the people were pressed upon him, that's Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now this, I'm just going to point this out to you. The lake of Gennesaret is really, it's another name for the Sea of Galilee, okay? And we're going to find out later that there's also another name for the Sea of Galilee. It's called the Sea of Tiberias. So when you see the Lake of Gennesaret or the Sea of Tiberias, it's the Sea of Galilee. It's all the same name. I've checked that out. All right. So in this case, the Lake of Gennesaret, they stood by the Lake of Gennesaret, verse 2, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Now, I want to stop there. You know, in the past, you could have probably read through this gospel, looked at this event right here, and thought, this is probably the first time that Jesus has ever laid eyes on Peter, until you start looking at the Gospel of John, realizing that there's already been a contact made between Jesus and Andrew and Jesus and Simon Peter before this event. So I find it interesting, and I think you will too, how Jesus is meeting Peter on his own turf, so to speak. He's right down here at the Lake of Gennesaret, right here where Peter spends all of his time. He's a fisherman. This is where he derives his livelihood, fishing on this lake night after night after night. And so where's Jesus at? I don't think it's coincidence that is Jesus on his journeying and on his teaching of these people and these groups, that he just so happened to be right here by the lake, the same lake where Peter and Andrew and James and John are cleaning their nets after a long night of fishing. And here's Jesus. And I also don't think it's a coincidence that there's two boats there. And Jesus just happens to get into Simon Peter's boat. Now remember, he had already had a contact with him, and he had already apparently, what it appears to be, that he's changed. He said that he is Peter. So he gave him the name Peter already at this point. And yet, in that first encounter with Peter, he didn't say, "Follow me." He did to Andrew, or excuse me, to Philip, he said, "Follow me." But he didn't say that to Peter. And now here he is down here at the lake, the same lake that Peter and Andrew, James and John have just spent all night fishing. And we'll find out as we read this that they didn't catch anything. They had a terrible night. You know, and you go out fishing. You know, these people didn't fish. They weren't anglers where they had a rod and a reel. They would fish with a net. But even at that, you throw that big, heavy net out in the water, and you pull it back empty, and you do that about 100 times, and you're wore out. And so here they've done this all night, and they're exhausted, and so they're cleaning their nets, and here comes Jesus, and he just so happens to step into Peter's boat. I think there's a lot of significance in that. When Jesus comes and steps into your boat, when he comes and steps into your life, when he comes and is involved in the things of your life that are important to you, they're important to him. And in this case with Peter, it was getting in that boat with him. And Jesus asked him to push out, we'll read on here, to push out away from the shoreline. Verse 3, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. See, when he was pushed out from the land, it was like a natural PA system, because the sound carried across the water to the people, so he could sit there and teach the people. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, so this is at the end of his message, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And I'm sure you've noticed before that word there, net, is singular. But Jesus had said, "Let down the nets," plural. But Peter is just going to appease Jesus and let just one net down. We're not going to, I'll do this, Jesus, to make you happy, but there's not going to be any fish in this net, and it's just a waste of time, but I'll do it because you're asking me to do it. That's what was in Peter's mind, not realizing what was about to happen. And you see, all of the history of the events on that lake, you know, the nights that were spent there by Peter and his family and his friends, all those nights, all those fish they caught, you know, all of this it's inside of him. It's what makes Peter Peter. And here he is being asked by Jesus to go out into the lake. Sun's up. They don't fish when the sun's up. They fish at night. But here Jesus said, "Let's go out and fish right now." And it, you know, it's like a novice talking to a professional, you know, and the novice is saying one thing, and the professional in their mind is thinking, "No, you just don't do that. It doesn't make any sense." Well, in this case, he didn't realize that Jesus was not a novice. That was his mistake. And so here he is going out into the deep, letting down the nets, and what happens to get a draught is what Jesus told him. But Simon answered, I'm going to read verse 5 again. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto the partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Man, what a haul of fish. How shocked do you think Peter was? How shocked here he was. He wasn't expecting anything. You know, he'd been out there all night. They didn't catch one fish, not even a little tadpole. They got nothing. And here he is going against all of his knowledge as a fisherman, all of his experiences on that water, going completely against all of it, going out fishing in the daytime. And here he is listening to Jesus. He drops down this one net and it breaks. The haul is so huge. What do you think's going on there? Do you think that Jesus is trying to get Peter's attention? I think so. And I think that he's meeting him at the very point of who Peter is as a fisherman. He's speaking his language as a fisherman. He's speaking to him in a language that he understands. He's showing him something that's completely impossible and supernatural and miraculous. And Peter's looking at this, and he is, you know, he's just dumbfounded. Here's the man that has changed his name from Simon to Peter. Here's the man that I've listened to him preaching to the people on my boat, and now he sent me out into the deep, and look at the haul of fish. You know, I know fish, and this is the most fish I have ever seen. Look at all these fish. I mean, I can just imagine Peter in his mind. He's seeing dollar signs. I mean, he's in the fishing business. You know, this is what he does for a living. This is his livelihood. He sees money here on everywhere he looks because he sells these fish. And the enormous haul, he's dumbfounded by it, because this person is, this isn't just a regular person. Jesus, who is this Jesus that he can do this? And he's amazed. And here's the point that I really want to get to. Jesus got his number. Jesus got in his boat. He got involved with his life because he's really luring Peter in his direction. He's showing him this is the kingdom of God, is what he's really doing, demonstrating the kingdom principles, showing this to Peter. And he's luring him in, drawing him in. So let's go on. Verse 6. I'll read this again. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. They came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished. And now, we can't emphasize this enough. A fisherman that is astonished. You know, this has got to be the greatest haul of fish that they have ever seen. For him, who, I mean, this is a guy, he's weathered. He's been on that water so much. You see these kind of people, their skin is kind of chapped, or they're rough guys. You know, they're not refined. They don't have the manicured fingers. I mean, these are tough guys. They've been out on this water and working and getting these fish in the boat. They're hard guys. And yet here Peter is realizing who this man is. And he says to him, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, now look at these words, "Fear not." I love that. I love that right there. How often when Jesus would approach somebody, he would tell them, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. No matter what you're facing, don't fear. Don't fear. There's no reason to be afraid. There's no reason." Hallelujah. "Fear not. From hence forth thou shalt catch men." When they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Well, I tell you that there's a few points right here at the end that we really want to catch. The one point is this: from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Boy, that's a strong statement. You're going to catch men. You've caught fish all these years, boys. I'm going to teach you how to catch men. And here's the one point that we don't want to miss, is that Peter was one of them that was just caught by the master. How did he do it? He showed Peter something that went beyond Peter's mind and understanding. It was something that this haul of fish, it was right up his alley. I just love that. This is his wheelhouse. This is who Peter is. And Jesus just came and just blew it right out of the water. He just showed him, "Look, here's who I am. You know, here's the kingdom of God right in front of you. And here is fish, more fish than you've ever seen at one time." And Jesus has lured him in. He has drawn him in. He basically said, "You're going to catch men just like I caught you just now." How did he do it? He did it through demonstration. He showed them something from the kingdom of God. He showed them, and it drew them in. Praise God. You know, that's what we've been called to catch men. Not to see, Jesus didn't look at Peter right there and said, "Peter, I'm calling you to have a big worldwide ministry." He didn't say that at all. He didn't say, "Peter, you know, I'm calling you to have this big ministry that's gonna touch people, you know, all over the world. And he didn't say that. He said, you're going to catch men. The focus was not on the ministry. The focus was on the people, catching the people, reeling them in, drawing them in. Hallelujah. You're going to catch men. The focus is on people. And I want to point out that he used the same terminology in Mark and in Matthew. Jesus used basically the same thing. If you want to go to Mark chapter 1. Now, see, you're going to get kind of a condensed version of this same account in Mark, chapter 1, verses 16, I think, through, 16. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net to the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come you after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Fishers of men. He's using the same concepts that these people use every day. Catching fish. You're going to catch men. You're going to be fishers of men. So, I mean, he's putting it and framing it in such a way that they can understand it. That they're not wondering what Jesus is saying. Just the way that the fish were caught in that net and they drew them in, so many that it was breaking. You know, that's what is going to happen. You're going to draw men in. You're going to throw the net out indiscriminately. You're going to throw it out. You're going to draw in whoever you can get to come in. Hallelujah. Now let's go over to Matthew. Let's see how Matthew said it. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, follow me. So here, you see, here's the difference. I was alluding to this earlier. In John, we saw that Jesus spoke to Andrew and to Peter, and you see where he changed his name from Simon to Peter. But there wasn't a call to follow him. But you see in the next verse that when he met Philip, he said, follow me. But in the case with Andrew and Peter, Jesus demonstrated things in front of them, and then he said to them these words, verse 19, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He showed them something. He demonstrated the kingdom in front of them. And then he said, follow me. And what did they do? They followed him. You see back in chapter 5 of Luke, it says in verse 11, and when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. They gave up everything. Everything. Peter was convinced. You know, Peter, when he had his name changed, apparently wasn't completely convinced. But boy, when Jesus got in his boat, when he partook of his life, and they went out and they got this big haul of fish. Oh, he's a believer, and he gave up everything. When Jesus said, follow me, they forsook everything, and they followed him. See, Jesus has been bringing this to my attention about being these fishers of men, to cast the net indiscriminately, and and to see people drawn into the kingdom of God. That's what we've been called to do. Just as these men, hundreds and thousands of years ago, were called to be fishers of men, we too are to be fishers of men. We are to cast the net out and to see people drawn into the kingdom. It isn't just about teaching the people. See, I'm a teacher, and I get all involved in teaching, but it isn't about just about that. There is an aspect of it where there is catching to be done. And Jesus is showing them, you've got to be fishers of men. We have to go and cast the net out and draw them into the kingdom. And he did this through demonstration. He demonstrated to them the kingdom and drew them in. And then they went out and they demonstrated the kingdom and drew people in. See, it's not just the kingdom of God isn't just about preaching good messages. There's a demonstration that is supposed to happen. The gifts of the Spirit are to be in operation. People are to see things. And no, that's not where they get their faith from. But it definitely is a calling card for Jesus. It's definitely something that's going to get their attention and draw them in, just like it drew Peter in, like a fish with bait, and you're luring them in. You know, this it's how Jesus operates. We see it right here, and we can watch it through the Gospels, where he's about demonstration. You know, he's about healing the sick, laying hands on the sick, delivering the demoniacs. There's action there. Things are happening. It isn't just preaching nice, eloquent messages and then seeing people commit their lives to Jesus. You know, it's about giving them a show. Showing them something, demonstrating the kingdom of God, and drawing them in through the demonstration of it. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how Jesus operated. And you can see the multitudes were ministered to. The multitudes were healed. And several times it talks about where he healed them all. Not every time, but there were times he healed them all. Glory to God. And don't you know that when he did that, that was a calling card. It was something that drew the people in. Yes, amen. And that's what he expects from us. To be fishers of men. To be looking for the opportunities. To put on a show for Jesus. To be used. To allow the Holy Ghost to work through you, to put on a demonstration of the kingdom of God, of the power of God, of God's glory manifested in the earth, to lay hands on the sick and to see them recover. Amen. That's what God's called us to, and that is what will draw people into the kingdom. Just like Peter. You know, when he changed his name, he wasn't ready to follow him. You know, he still had a business to run. But when Jesus got in his boat and he demonstrated the kingdom in front of his eyes, then he was ready to forsake everything and to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. So as I was reading that, well, let me just bring in a couple. I wrote some notes here. The difference between putting on a show to draw attention to yourself and illustrating a point through your actions. There's a difference between that. Jesus was making a point to them through the miracle of the fish. He was not attempting to make something of himself through his actions. In other words, he wasn't trying to prove that he was God. He was demonstrating to them in an effect, drawing them in, but he wasn't trying to make himself out to be anything. See, that's one thing that I wonder about at times when I see some ministries, that if they haven't gotten into making themselves out to be something, and that's not what God's called us to do. He wants to use us in demonstration, but it's not about us, it's about him. We're just the vessel that he operates through, and it's to demonstrate to the unbelievers to draw them into the kingdom. Amen. So as I was reading that account in Luke 5, where Jesus got into Peter's boat, you know, it occurred to me, this wasn't the only time that Jesus used the miracle of fish to get Peter's attention. It wasn't the only time. And I was thinking about this. At the end of Jesus' time here on earth, just before his final ascension into heaven, Jesus has an encounter with Peter and Andrew and James and John, and they're on, and guess where they're at? They're on the Sea of Galilee. And that's going to be in John chapter 21. And I thought it was just so interesting because of the similarities in the second account in comparison with the original calling of Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Notice the similarities. Here they are on the sea, if I can ever get to John. John chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now, as I said earlier when we first started this, the Sea of Tiberias is the Sea of Galilee. It's the same sea that they were on back in Luke chapter 5, the same body of water, in other words. So here they are. They have gone back to fishing. There, verse 2, there were together Simon, Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. So I don't see Andrew's name there. It says two other disciples. We don't know who those other two are. So we got Simon, Peter, we got Thomas called Didymus, we got Nathanael, and then the two sons of Zebedee. So it's James and John. All right. And they were together with Peter, and they're on the sea. And verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Now, we need to kind of set the stage for this. This is after the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. So the events that, in particularly here in Peter's life, remember, Peter denied the Lord three times in the cock crowed or whatever crew, and so he denied the master. You know, we saw back in Luke 5 that they forsook all and followed Jesus. Now, I think an important point to be made here in that account in Luke 5 is, here are these men are fishermen that they're in a fishing business, and here they had all of these fish, so much that it was breaking the net, and they had to get their partners out there to help get the fish in, and they have all of these fish, and the next thing you know, they're walking away from everything, and I'm guessing that those fish, they were not able to capitalize themselves on the fish apparently they left him for James and John's dad Zebedee to cash in on it. That's an assumption. I can't say that one way or another, but it said that they forsook all and they followed Jesus. So it doesn't appear like they had any plans of ever going back into fishing. They had gone lock, stock, and barrel in with Jesus, and they weren't intending to turn and go back. But now, after the crucifixion, after Peter had his denial of the Lord three times, you know, now where are they at? Well, it kind of looks like they're licking their wounds, and they've gone back to the very thing that they are most familiar with, and that's fishing on the Sea of Galilee. So they just went back to what they knew to do. And, you know, I'm sure in Peter's case, there was a sense of shame. You know, he had denied the Lord after spending, you know, close to 3 years with the Master. And now he's, you know, he has denied even knowing him at that crucial point of the crucifixion. I don't know who this guy is. And then he cussed, you know, prove that I don't know him. And so now here he is. Him, and he's kind of dragging these other guys with him into his mess. They're on the Sea of Galilee, and they're going fishing again. So that's, now I've got the stage set, so let's go along here. I go a-fishing, verse 3. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Doesn't that sound familiar? Go back to Luke 5. You know, when Jesus approached them, they had been on that sea all night long, and they caught nothing. Here they are again. Same Sea of Galilee. They fished all night, and they caught nothing. Wow, isn't that amazing? But when the morning was now come, verse 4, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Isn't that amazing? They've been out there all night fishing, and hear a word from the Lord. Take that net, throw it on the other side. Well, what in the world difference is it going to make now? We've been out here all night. We have had it on both sides of the boat. So, but they did what he said, and they threw it in. They cast therefore, and now, I'm in the end of verse 6, they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, that's John is who that is, it is the Lord. Now when Simon heard that he was the Lord, he girt his fishing coat unto him, for he was naked. I don't know why he went fishing naked, but apparently he did. And did cast himself into the sea, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Wow. So here it is again. They put the net on the other side of the boat, and here is this bunch of fish, probably as many as was in the net the first time, except this one didn't break. Verse 9, as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153. I think that's interesting, 153. I think it's interesting that they know exactly how many fish, and they put it in. The Word of God has the number of fish that was in that net. I think that's interesting. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Now look at this interaction that you're going to see between Jesus and Peter. And think about what Jesus said to them the first time that he called them back in Luke 5. What did he say? I'm going to teach you how to catch men. And then in the other gospel, how to be fishers of men. All right, so that was at the beginning of the ministry. That was at the beginning of calling them out. You're going to catch men. You're going to catch men. You're going to be fishers of men. I'm going to teach you how to catch men. And we saw that through the miracles. When he sent them out, he gave them authority over the demonic spirits. They could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. He sent them out. He equipped them to do the miracles and to see the people drawn in to be fishers of men. But look at what Jesus says now. Here at the, just before Jesus goes to heaven, where are they at? They're back on the sea. They'd fished all night, just like before. They caught nothing. Jesus said, throw the net on the other side of the boat. They come up with a haul of fish, just like they had the first time. They get the fish to land. They go and Jesus has a meal prepared for them. They sit down and eat. And Jesus tells them again, you're going to be fishers of men. No, he doesn't. That's not what he said this time. He said that when he called them. But look at what he says this time. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I want to just stop here and give you food for thought on this verse. When he says, lovest thou me more than these, I read that a long time and just thought he was saying, do you love me more than these other guys love me? And that's just not how Jesus operated. You know, but you saw here where Peter had brought the fish, dragging the fish up in verse 8, up to where Jesus was. So here's the fish laying there. All right, the fish is laying right there. And Jesus says, do you love me more than these? Now, what did Peter go back to? He went running back to the fishing business. He went running back to the money in the fishing business. And Jesus is looking at him, and he's saying, okay, these fish right here, the money that these fish can produce for you. Do you love this or do you love me? Are you going to go back to that and forsake me? Or but you forsook that and you followed me, and now you're going back to this again and forsaking me. And which one do you love? Do you love these things or do you love me? What's it going to be, Peter? Now look at this. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He didn't say this time, go be fishers of men. Now he's telling them, That there's feeding of the sheep that's involved. It's necessary. It's important. You got to feed them. It's not just about catching them. You have to feed them. You have to nurture them. You have to wipe their runny noses. You have to be there and help them and feed my lambs. Feed them. You see, that's what Jesus was talking about at the, I think it's Matthew 23, when he said, go into all the world and teach. He's talking about making disciples. See, it isn't that God has called us to simply throw out the net, catch people, and do nothing with them. That's not what God's called us to do. We are to catch men, but we are to make disciples of the people that we catch. It's not about just throwing a net out just so, okay, I can say I won five people today, and tomorrow I'm going to win five more, and you pat yourself on the back. Yeah, I keep winning all these people, but nobody's growing up. Nobody's maturing. Nobody's developing. I'm not feeding any of them. That's not right. That's not what Jesus has called us to. See, the first calling was, catching men, but here he's telling them, feed my lambs. Don't just let them flounder around. Feed them, Peter. And you notice that he didn't just say this once. Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. So what are we learning here tonight? We're learning that there is a calling, there is an importance to draw people through demonstration, drawing them into the kingdom, being fishers of men is important. And I know there's some groups think that other groups of people are the ones that are called to get the to catch the people, and then this other group is the one that's supposed to teach them. I'm not too sure that that's the way it really is supposed to work. I think we're all supposed to be ministers of reconciliation. In other words, we're all called to be catchers of men, but we're also called to make disciples of them, not just to catch them, not just to have another mark on our belt that we got another person saved, but that we're to disciple people for the kingdom, just like Jesus was saying to Peter, feed my sheep, feed them. So what are you saying, Mark? I'm saying that we have a responsibility, no matter what position that we hold in the body of Christ. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're full time in the ministry, or whether you are you have a full time job and you occupy a place in the body that not necessarily one where you preach or you teach, but you still have a place in the body that you are to fulfill, and that place is going to involve people, ministering to people, sharing the gospel, demonstration, and feeding people, feeding them the truth, not just opinions, not just what the church doctrine is, but what the Bible doctrine is. Feeding them, giving them something that they can hold on to. See, that's what we all have been called to do as ministers of reconciliation. Glory to God. We're to demonstrate the kingdom in front of people and give them the opportunity to make a decision for Jesus. And do it indiscriminately. You know, see that net getting thrown out. Throwing that net out to draw in, you know, whoever is in that net, drawing that net in. You know, not just of the pretty people or the, you know, the well-off people or this people or that people or yellow people or pink people, but all people. It's indiscriminate. You throw it out, you cast it out, and you draw it in, and whoever's in that net, that's who we're going to focus on. Amen. And not just so that we can have converts. But then we do what Jesus said in John 21 when he was speaking to Peter, to feed my lambs, to feed them, to make disciples. Make disciples. Amen. Well, I hope you receive something from this evening. You know, we are going to be fishers of men, but we're also going to feed the lambs. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the examples that you've given us in your word. I thank you for the example that you gave us with Peter. You know, here this hard, crusty guy that you called to be a fisher of men, to go out and to catch men, and then to feed your sheep. Father, I pray that we will look at people and we'll see them as you see them, with through eyes of love and compassion. And Father, that we will be willing to be used to throw out the net and to draw it in and to catch men for the kingdom of God. And not just to catch them, but to disciple them, to feed your sheep. Glory to God. And I thank you that we will see lives permanently changed for the kingdom of God. We just thank you for this, Father. We thank you for your grace. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.